ourselves to your words today. Should you give us a tomorrow, may we have the same resolve that we open our hearts to you, that we understand that you speak in many ways, and to always be open, alert, and attentive to your words. We love you, Lord. Amen. The God who speaks, Genesis 1:3, and God said. In the first chapter of Genesis, this phrase is used 11 times, and God said. God is communicative. It is a clue. He's interactive, and he's into intimacy. Now, to think this through, in Genesis, where we get a description of creation, it could have just been a mere description that God did this and God did that, God did this and God did that. And that would have been fine. We would have been very thankful for the clarification of what happened in history. But it's more than what God did. God did this and that, but he also said, and God said. God said, let there be light. God said, let this happen, let that happen. And God does nothing in vain. The point that I take away, and hopefully we'll all glean from that, is that he's a God who's speaking. He's always speaking. And he's into this interactive connection with his creation. As a matter of fact, it is God's nature to maintain connection by communication. Connection by communication. And don't we as humans understand that to a certain degree? You can say that you're connected or related to somebody, or yeah, I know that person. But really, the quality of your connection is based on your communication with that person. I have cousins, relatives that I'm connected to and I know of via biological connection, shared history, so on and so forth. But the true connection is not that, but it's communication. Do I communicate with them? And that's the Lord in this world, is he is speaking. God is speaking. God's speaking right now in a variety of ways. The Holy Spirit within, still small voice, is going to be dealing with us today. There's a vessel that's going to be communicating, a sounding board, if you will, of God's good word. And, of course, much of it comes from the Bible, which is the written word, which is God speaking. It's dynamic. It's not just past tense. Here's a history. But it's dynamic. It speaks to us right where we're at. And so as God's desire was clear, crisp, connection by communication, unfortunately, our parents turned away from that. And they decided that they would have their own means of understanding. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I can gain understanding, I can gain wisdom, I can gain insight on my own terms. And we live in a very similar world. I mean, that same DNA is in the offspring of Adam and Eve, that we'll get our information via other outlets. But ultimately, it's God's word that we need. Man cannot live by bread alone. Man cannot live by Fox News commentaries. Man cannot live by the quick fix communiques of Facebook. Man only lives by what God has to say. And without God speaking, people shrivel up. They dry up. The inner void is not satisfied. Now, on through history, God continued to speak even after Adam and Eve's fall. It was limited. It was by prophets. It was by heads of families. But slowly but surely, God was working his way to get back to intimate, dynamic communication. Ultimately, this was fulfilled in the church through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said it is finished, it's almost like this long mode of limited communication. The limited communication lines were abolished. And through Jesus Christ, it's like open communication. It's like having five bars on your little internet icon. constant, open communication, open access. And so he shouted out, and now he ever lives, making intercession and communicating. He's given us a spirit of life that we can have free communication. So the church, that is the people of God, was to fulfill God's desire. So it's not necessarily about us. We do benefit, but the church was to fulfill God's desire for avid interaction, for dynamic, continual communication with his creation. This is near and dear to God's heart. He made a species. He made a kind after his own image so that he could have avid communication, interaction, even though well below him in terms of who they were. He's a creator, we're the created. Yet this was of great interest to God. Now, God has always had this communication desire because the Lord God Almighty is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're always communicating. They don't give each other the silence treatment. It's always open communication, vulnerability, transparency, and love. Now, wonder of wonders, this great God was concerned for me and wanted to have this with me, just little old me, born September 19th, 1971, in a troubled family, in a troubled race called the human race. He wanted to have avid interaction with little old me. And so he went to great lengths, well in advance of my conception, to clear the way for open, unhindered communication. This is the glorious benefit that I enjoy. And if you're a saint, you also have that wonderful advantage, open communication channel of God Almighty. Now, the problem is never with God's desire to communicate. You already know where this message is going. You've heard similar notions, but it bears reinforcing. The problem is never with God wanting to communicate. The problem is with the hearer. Are we open to his open communication? Now, in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, we see that the church is actually a group which would now have multifaceted revelation, a whole lot of different ways that God would go out of his way to speak. Peter, as he declares the first oracles of the church, the first sermon, if you will, in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, in your notes, it says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, the first section of this passage has everything to do with communication, communication, communication. It's almost like God was all along planning to have this special group, just like he had with Adam and Eve prior to the fall, where there was open communication and everything was about revelation. Well, all along, now he gets to this point where the Holy Spirit comes. That's a historical event of Pentecost in Acts 2. And Peter's take on it is, oh, this is the fulfillment of God's heart. This is what God has desired, at least from our perspective, for millennium. That is, that he would be speaking and that they will receive that revelation. And look what it says here. They shall prophesy. There would be visions. There would be dreams. Again, verse 18, they shall prophesy. In other words, this group of people is going to have plenty of opportunities to receive the good word of God, a variety of manners. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the author writes, God who at in different times and in different ways declared himself has in these last days spoken through Jesus Christ. Yea and amen. We who are the recipients of Christ, who abide in Christ, now have various ways of understanding and receiving the divine oracles. Verses 19 through 21 goes on to talk about the very end. Verse 19, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day." Some of your versions will say the great and dreadful day. Verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we are in the season that is spoken of in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. We're in the season of open communication. That's verses 17 through 18. If you're writing on your notes, you could put communication on the side, verses 17 through 18. Then 19 through 21 is consummation. God is all about communication, communication. I speak to this group. I want to speak to you. I want you to be listening. I've got things to say. I've got a lot to give. Be listening. Be open. Be available. Because the end, consummation, is drawing near, verses 19 through 21. Now, verses 19 through 21 reflect the very end of the last days, days that we could be in right now, where there's all these signs in the heavens and the sun being darkened and the moon being turned to blood, cosmic disturbances. We could be in those days, but friend, I want to verify that we certainly are in the days of verses 17 through 18. Prophetic words, visions, dreams. Once again, the prophetic word. Now, let's consider the manifold ways in which God wants to distribute, to give you and I revelation. How many of you want to be open to all of God's ways of speaking? I mean, I want it all. I want to be open at all times to all of God's ways of speaking. Now, there are some primary modes. Just as there are different colors, we know there's primary colors. What are the primary colors? Red, green, and... Okay, never mind. There's three primary colors, okay? There's three primary colors, and then there's variations on that. I believe the primary modes of communication from God are the Holy Spirit, still small voice, and the Scriptures. Those are God's primary modes, but there are also other ways that I think, unfortunately, we at times have limited ourselves. We've not been open to God's other communication channels. And to be sure, I want us all to enjoy the Holy Spirit, still small voice, His comfort, His conviction. That's definitely of significance and first import. But also the Scriptures, the clear-cut written word that together with the Spirit provides a dynamic combination. But let's consider what Peter said in Acts 2:17 through 18. Because he also talked about the words of prophecy. He talked about visions. He talked about dreams. Now, don't worry. It's not going to get crazy here. But I want to open our heart to other ways that God is. And these ways will not be contradictory, by the way. It's not like one line will be A and another line will be negative A. You know, the lines are never contradictory. God's word is consistent across all channels. Now, let's consider, first of all, the preference of prophesying. Paul wrote to a church that was unfortunately struggling because they were trying to impress one another with the more mysterious gifts. They were a spiritually oriented church, but they were in error because now they used it as competition. And everybody had a word. Everybody had something to say. And so their gatherings were very confused and were actually turning off the Holy Spirit and also turning off the unsaved because it was just a confused smattering of spiritual exhibitionism. And so Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 14 in reference to that. He said in verse 1, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spirituals," or spiritual gifts, "especially," somebody say especially, "especially that you may speak forth the clear word of God." That's prophecy. Prophecy is the speaking forth of God's clear word. Hopefully you're receiving some of that today. you're getting the clear word of God, and it's speaking into the present and also has application into the future. Now, normally when you hear the word prophesy, the mind kind of goes future, prophecy. And there is that component, but that's not the only component to prophecy. And so Paul says, okay, there's a lot of spiritual manifestations, spiritual gifts. But you really, when you come together, you want to speak the clear word of God to one another. Verse 2, for look, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Now, Paul is saying tongues are good. And Paul himself prayed in tongues. That's that ecstatic, heavenly language from my perspective. But he said, you know, you might want to just keep that a little bit more private. And if you're going to speak in the church, speak more of the clear word of God, because it's a mystery. And it's a little bit more for benefiting yourself. Verse 3, on the other hand, the one who, what is the word? Prophesies, okay? The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Very beneficial. Thank goodness for that glorious gift. However, in the gathering, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Bottom line here, the primary modes of God's revelation, the Holy Spirit's still small voice, and the Bible are wonderful, but also don't discount the clear word spoken in the church. And that's not just a Sunday morning setting or a Wednesday evening setting. That can be any setting. That can be you and a friend going out to lunch. That the words of prophecy are to be, you should be ready to hear them or ready to give them or both. That's what God has designed the church in part, not only to bring glory to him ultimately, but to edify one another, to speak the truth in love. And so to be open, to be ready to receive, you say, oh, Wednesday night, we're not having church. You know, Wednesday night is one of those Connect for Life Wednesdays. Well, how about recasting that? How about, hey, it is yet another opportunity where God lays somebody on my heart, and I may be hosting that person, but I'm also ready because that is a Spirit-filled brother or sister, and they may have a living word for me that evening. You see, according to your faith, if your ear is open and if you're ready to receive, then God is ready to distribute. God is ready to speak, and we ought to be open to what the church family, to what the people of God, our local church, of course, where there's accountability, but the extended church, as God gives words, that's well and fine, to be ready for the prophetic word, the thus saith the Lord in the moment. And the person that's delivering it might not say, now listen, Ron, thus saith the Lord, you know, thus and so. But I'm listening. I want to hear. I mean, I've already heard the word of God via a brother this morning. He was speaking in his prayer. He was giving scriptures, and I'm going, whoa, you know, that's very helpful for right now. I was ready to receive the prophetic word, the foretelling of God. And then, of course, I'm more encouraged to come and give the foretelling word of the Lord God Almighty. Now, in actuality, the church is a source of revelation. And you say, yeah, we know that. But unfortunately, because of the Catholic emphasis of the church, many Protestant wings have gone the other way and have devalued the church, have said, listen, it's between me, God, and the Bible. And, you know, the church gets way too much attention over there. They've got all these papal decrees and all these words from the cardinals and their liturgy, and it's all kind of meshed in the church. And so I devalue or minimize the church, which is actually a mistake. It can be taken to an extreme, no doubt. But the Bible itself says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is a place where truth can be hashed out, where things can be spoken, where we can check one another and sharpen one another by this prophetic word. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. God is speaking. He is speaking loud and clear. It may be a whisper. It may be as we read, and the Spirit bears witness of that. It may be from somebody in the church. Be open to this obvious preference of prophesying. With all of the gifts that God gave the church, He gave a variety of manifestations or expressions. You can find those in Romans 12. You can find those in 1 Corinthians 12. A list of various blessings to the church. Of all of those, though, the prophetic word was the one that we see is emphasized here. It's not mysterious. It is a clear-cut word from God. Now, on to perhaps the more mysterious ways in which God speaks. We've heard about prophesying. Let's consider visions. Now, did you notice there in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, just go up again, even though we see prophecy emphasized twice, did you catch that? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Then verse 18, once again, and they shall prophesy. This shows in and of itself the priority of prophecy. However, notice there that in the church age, in the days when the Spirit would be upon a group of people in a very intimate way, visions would also be a way in which God has spoken. Now, in Acts chapter 9, we see a lot of visions actually in Acts. In Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, a vision was very instrumental in drawing the Apostle Paul into the Lord. And it goes to a humble servant named Ananias. So let's consider this verse here. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision. Now this is a Spirit-filled man, but God found this man ready and waiting, open to a vision. So the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He said, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul," who we know as Paul. "For behold, he is praying." Now look at this, verse 12, it's very interesting. "And he has seen in a vision." So you got a vision wrapped in a vision. "He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Now, Jesus Christ had personally spoken to the Apostle Paul in an audible voice. You know, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul went blind because of it and spent 3 days in blindness, no eating, no drinking. But at the very least, he got a vision during that time. But it was for another man, Ananias, to come, lay his hands. And we know from the account in Acts that Ananias would obey the heavenly vision, even though he was a little reluctant at first. If you go on in the passage, you'll find he said, "Oh, I heard this guy is not the nicest guy in the world to Christians." And Jesus said, "You just go do it," in this vision. Ananias would go and lay his hands on who we now know as the Apostle Paul, and his transformation would begin. So here we have Ananias that has the Scriptures, Ananias that is filled with the Spirit, but also is receiving a vision. Now, this whole issue of visions, it wasn't something just for the church. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Habakkuk. How many of you have read Habakkuk lately? Pretty excited about that, aren't you? You go, "Is that a book in the Bible?" In Habakkuk, he says, "I will take my stand at my watchpost, and I will station myself on the tower, and I will look out to see what he will say to me." In other words, he opened himself to a vision. Now, to be sure, again, he didn't have the intimate connection that you and I do. He didn't have the glorious benefit that the church has. But he was a messenger along the way that God gave insight. And so he opens himself and says, "I'm going to see a vision. God's going to speak to me." So he goes on to say, "And what I will answer concerning my complaint." Verse 2, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. So God answered him. God gave him a vision. If you want to see more about that, read the short book of Habakkuk, and you'll see what that was all about. In I believe Acts is the next passage, right? Yeah, in the book of Acts, there's another example of a vision, the Apostle Paul. He said, in a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And with that, they responded and they left where they were at and went to Macedonia. So Paul had seen the vision. Immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is the way. God has shown me a vision. Now, Revelation, if you think about it, I don't like to limit it to just a vision, but at the very least, it's a vision. And the Apostle John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see. You read Revelation, you see quite a bit, actually, through the writing of the Apostle John. Write what you see in a book, send it to the seven churches. And so that's an epistle in some respects to seven local churches, and we still have it today. And so the whole thought of visions is a very important way of understanding God. And I want to encourage us at least to be open to God giving us a vision. Now, personally, I have never had a significant vision that so impacted me like unto these visions, like Ananias received. But I want to be open to it. If God doesn't give me one, I don't feel I'll be shortchanged. I've got plenty of revelation, but I should be open to God speaking in his multifaceted ways, in his manifold ways of speaking. Now, Lauren Cunningham, he himself received a significant vision, and of course, some of you may know that he's the founder of YWAM. But while traveling in the Bahamas in 1956 as part of a gospel quartet, Cunningham received a vision from God. In this vision, he described waves on the shorelines on the continents on a world map, eventually growing bigger and bigger, covering the landmass. He records that the waves in his vision changed to young people covering the continents, talking to people about their faith. The vision would inspire the beginning of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, 4 years later, as a movement providing missionary opportunities for Christian youth after high school, regardless of their denomination. And today, YWAM has an estimated 20,000 full-time employees in 171 countries. And so sometimes visions are like that. It might be about a specific application, go and do this, or it may be something which is grand in its outcome, that it will have an ongoing effect. You know, I don't believe Ananias continued to go and find blind Christians to pray over them. It was a one-time thing. But sometimes a vision can be so sweeping and overwhelming that it can extend and ripple out across a lifetime. And so be open to God giving you a vision. Keep your heart ready at all times. Lord, I want to hear from you, however you want to speak. And then, of course, there's dreams as well. Did you notice that? In Acts chapter 2, verse number 17, it says, in the last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Well, let's consider what dreams may come. Taking the quotation from Hamlet, of course. To be fair, when Hamlet was talking about it, he was talking about dying. And when the sleep of death comes, then what dreams may come. But I'm just adapting it for our purposes here. But what dreams may come? Did you know that you and I spend approximately 1/4 of our life in the sleep state? Some more, some less. In fact, I'm impressed with some people that don't require much sleep, but I do. If I don't get my 6 to 8, it is not good for me. I mean, I'm susceptible to sickness, and I need my sleep. Anybody relate with me? And once that time comes, don't violate that time. And so, but you know what I have done wrong? I've done something very wrong. Even though I have called Jesus my Lord and said, my life is not my own, it belongs to you, I am your bond slave, and of course your bond slave is the freest person in the world. But unfortunately, up to recently, I had not committed even my sleep state to God. That those 8 hours, those 6 hours. Now you say, well, Pastor, come on, he covers all of it. But often I think in terms of the waking hours, that my life is yours, and you know, we can be kind of simple. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die before I awake. We kind of look at maybe in that respect, but no, that's another opportunity for the Lord to impact us. And here's a little secret. It actually may be one of the best times that he can get our attention. Unfortunately, some of us are so busy chasing this and that, are overwhelmed with a surplus of activities, that in God's grace, because he is the God who speaks and wants to speak to us, that may be one of the best times for him to come in and to interject his communication into our souls. And you know what? I'm totally open to that. I want the Lord to speak to me in dreams. I want God to download revelation at any time, in any way he wants to. Now, recently I've been praying before I go to bed, before I go to sleep. Lord, I open myself up to you in this season. My life is not my own, it belongs to you. And I want you to speak to me in dreams. Now, there's no doubt about it that we have a lot of crazy dreams at times. And we certainly shouldn't attribute all of those to God. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, the wise man Solomon says that out of the multitude of activities and busyness comes dreams. I personally believe, now this is not a doctrine, but I personally believe that dreams are God's blessing to help us process excess mental energy and information. It almost sounds Freudian, I know, and if it is Freudian, he's actually probably closer to the truth. Most of the time he's not. But irrespective of that, it's like a clearinghouse. It's like ventilation. We're dreaming, you know, and I've been thinking about this and that, and there's just a lot of synapses firing, and let's just clear some of this out. You know, what is it in the computer? Is it a fragmentation, defragmentation, that type of thing? Whatever. However, I also believe that God will consecrate a dream, that he will take a part, and he will speak to me. Now, recently I've been praying, God, speak to me even in dreams. Did you know I've had two dreams recently where God has spoken to me? And actually, he used one of the leaders in this church. Now, I didn't take anything personally from that. I just believe he was using something that I could relate to at that moment in a dream state. He used one of the leaders in this church and showed me that person and spoke to me. And it was a very proper and good reproof that came to me. And I woke up crying from that. It was almost like, you know, this is a matter. This is an issue. And I show you through this person. You know, it's not to go and speak to that person. Oh, did you have a part of that? Or try to make something more of it. But God trying to communicate through what I understand in the dream realm, a mysterious place, no doubt. And to come out of that reproved, to come out of that being calibrated to a certain degree. Now, in Job chapter 33, this was a great discovery, verses 14 through 18. Of all of Job's quote-unquote counselors, Elihu was the best of the bunch. He was a young man. He was erroneous in some respects, but he had the most wisdom compared to the elder three that he waited until they were done. And here's one of the nuggets that came from Elihu as Elihu was speaking to Job. Job 33 and verse 14, for God does speak. You agree, by the way, he's the God who speaks? He said, God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Why? Because either they're fallen or they're stubborn and they don't want to listen. Verse 15, for instance, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. Why? Is it so that they just have nightmares and wake up disturbed? No, that's not God's way. God's not into tormenting dreams. And by the way, if you've got tormenting nightmare, night terror-like experiences, you need to pray and ask God to give you peace in that matter. It may be an area of satanic attack, or maybe an area of unresolved emotional issues which are still hounding you in the nighttime. Maybe that you're watching too many murder mysteries before you go to bed. You know, it's not, God does not terrify to torment. Why does he terrify? Look at verse 16. Why would he terrify them with warnings? It's verse 17. To turn man from wrongdoing, to keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit. Pastor Ron, are you trying to say that God may go and speak to me in a dream in order to reprove me because I'm going in the wrong direction or I'm filled with pride? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if I'm not open to the word, if I'm stubborn in my soul, if I disregard the church and count it as naught, then that may be one of the last remaining modes that he can come in and perchance spare me from some folly. It's actually his mercy to give a terrifying reproof type of dream to turn me, verse 17, from wrongdoing and to keep me from my foolish pride, to preserve me from destruction, which is just ahead. Now dreams, more often than not, as we see them in the Bible, are warnings. Consider Pharaoh's dream, that God gave Pharaoh the dream of 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of leanness. Consider Nebuchadnezzar, that he was given some dreams, a dream about his empire, a dream about himself, and that they were warnings intended on keeping Nebuchadnezzar from his folly. What about Joseph? Poor Joseph, the supposed father of Jesus. You know, the man couldn't get a night's sleep, it seems, without getting a dream. Four times God spoke to Joseph. You can find it in Matthew. Four times God woke Joseph up. You take that woman. This is my will. You know, go here. Get out of Dodge. Go to Egypt. Don't go to this district. Go to that district. I mean, the man was probably didn't get a good night's sleep for a while. God was giving him all these dreams. You know, but dreams are more often than not, they seem to provide. Notice I'm using seem. I'm not trying to make absolutes here. They seem to provide personal warnings, like forebodings, which often necessitate an interpretation from another. When Pharaoh had the dream, Joseph came in and interpreted his dream. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, who came in and helped him with his dream? Anybody remember? Daniel the prophet, the man of God, Daniel, came in to interpret his dream. And so those are just some issues concerning dreams. So let's turn it over and get our response. Number one response has probably been the theme of the whole message. Be open to God at all times. Or as the key point says, keep an open invitation to divine communication. Be open to God at all times. There is no time off from revelation. Do you understand that? God is always wanting to speak. To the person who is closest to God in this room, if we were to be lined up along the wall, that person's the closest, that person's the one farthest off. The whole line, God would say, I want to speak to all of you at all times. Be open to God at all times. This is to the church in Hebrews 12:25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Not merely him who has spoken, and not him who will speak when you get to heaven. Do you see that there? Anybody see it? Okay. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape, now talking about the Old Testament saints, for if they did not escape, when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven? If we despise the words of God? If we treat him in such a way that he's put off to the side, we won't escape either. We'll fall into a variety of pits. We'll go through a whole lot of trouble if we refuse to be open to God at all times. Number two response, receive and give. Freely I've received, freely I'm to give. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. This is a prayer that I pray often for myself in reference to being a communicator for God. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Now let me paraphrase that for you. Listen, Christian saint, be very careful that you understand this. God has given you a tongue so that you can build up other people. He has not given us the ability to speak to tear people down. It is an abomination for a Christian to be characterized by hypercriticism, by gossip, by slander. He's given you a tongue that you might sustain those who are weary. A couple weeks ago, I talked about anxiety in the heart of man causes, anybody remember? Depression, Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a person's heart causes depression, but the good word brings cheer. The good word is the antidote. The reason that I'm able to speak, the reason that you're able to speak, is so that I can be a blessing, so I can communicate sweetness, grace to the hearer, not corruption, so I can be a blessing and a help. And that's why I can speak. Now look at this number two. Here's why I wake up in the morning. Number one part of this passage, I have a tongue so I can be a blessing to communicate to the weary. Number two, here's why I wake up. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear. Whoa, why does he let me wake up in the morning? He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. I have woken up today so that I can hear from God. And then I have the glorious ability to communicate in whatever way. It might be typing, it might be sign language, it might be the direct word, but he's given me the ability to communicate, and I wake up to receive from him. Now, how many of you woke up this morning and said, this is the day to hear from God? The reason why I have awoken is so that I can hear from God. I cannot live by what the world has to offer. I don't truly thrive by the crumbs of the world. I live, I move, I have my being, my identity and destiny are tied in and fulfilled by hearing God's voice. Now, did you know that many people, when they wake up to the purposes of life that they deem important? There are some people over the last couple of years that when they woke up, Their thought, their ambition, their drive was to get the Republican Party back in power. This is why I have awoken, so that I can have political success, so I can see a political completion to what I think needs to happen. Some people awake because their end is that promotion. I want that promotion. I awake to study so that I can graduate, because graduation is everything to me right now. I awake because this wedding's off in the future. I awake for my retirement. I have awoken to go down and check on my portfolio, because I want that thing to double so that I can have a secure future. I have awoken to lose weight. I have awoken for this. I have awoken for that. Now I really doubt that people wake up and say, weight loss, wake up, weight loss, wake up, weight loss, you wake up, portfolio. But you see that as the thoughts start to fire and as the priorities begin to manifest. It takes up their time. I want to get to the next level of the organization. I want to have this great network. I want to this and that. Did you actually know? Now there are many people that they wake up and they're purposeless, which is an issue in and of itself. It's a sad existence. They wake up just wishing they go back to sleep. Okay, you understand that. But far be it from the Christian. Here's the way you and I should understand life. The reason why I did not die in my sleep is because God wanted to awaken me so that he could speak to me in this realm. And then I hear his voice rather than hardening my heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, not yesterday and not tomorrow, which may not come. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart like others did in past rebellions. But listen, you have been awoken to hear, and then you may very well have the privilege to speak, to be instant in season and out of season. Well, I thought that was just for the pastor. I thought that was just for the elder. I thought that was just for those who had Bible degrees. No, everybody who is filled with the Spirit, the reason why you perchance get a Monday morning where you wake up is not just to drag yourself into a job or drag yourself into school or whatever, but the reason why you are awoken is today is the opportunity to hear from God. Now, unfortunately, what just went across is a stinging indictment for some saints in this room. For those who aren't saints, you actually have a little bit more space. You're not aware of this. You're not connected with the hotline of heaven. I hope you resolve that today because God wants you. He desires you. But for those who are saved and the word of God is thin, the word of God is like maybe every so often, maybe once a week, I go there to hear the guy regurgitate. The word of God thin? No way. You have been saved. You have been have filled the Spirit so that you can receive from God every time you have a today. By the way, today is a today. You've done well to come and to receive what God has downloaded into a vessel. I don't mean to make it sound nasty and regurgitation, but it is secondhand in some respects. But then, this afternoon, how can I apply this? Wow, what a grace. It's even been put on a handy sheet. Oh, there's these questions. Yeah, maybe I can look at those. Might take 5 minutes. I know the football game's 3 hours and has me, well, it's not football season. What is it, basketball now? Whatever it is. I know that those are important things, but in actuality, I was not awoken for football. I was not awoken to strategize and to do everything I think will make my life comfortable. I was awoken to hear God's voice. Relationship with God Almighty. Does that sound about right, by the way? I mean, that's easy. That's 101 Christianity. Isaiah understood this. Think about this. Here's what Isaiah said. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain him with a word who is weary. There's weary people in our church family. There's weary people that live next door to you. There's weary people that sit across at the other desk. And you're not just there in that property or at that desk, in that class, just to get through the horizontal matters. You're actually there as a divine conduit. You're there as one who has received and is now able to give when the season and the opportunity is right. It's not to overload people. It's not to vomit the first thing that comes to your mind. But it's being ready, instant, in season and out of season, to communicate. This is the way God sees things. And this is the way those who seek first God and his kingdom actually see things. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is temporary. Isaiah himself, he had a problem with his mouth. Do you remember that, by the way? In Isaiah chapter 6? I mean, he's the most righteous in the land, but he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, it seems like there's been some rectifying. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain him with the word who is weary. So morning by morning, look at this. Every day, who awakens me? You think you awaken yourself? You think it's a crying baby at 3 a.m.? Morning by morning, he awakens. God has brought me up out of this sleep state. He awakens my ear to hear and as those who are taught. Friends, don't neglect. Don't refuse the speaking voice. And then number three is just kind of like a qualification and a round off. It really is more like an addendum, but I really have to teach this to keep us from going to extremes. I want you to turn your Bibles. How many of you are still with me, by the way? Okay, I'm trying to be as efficient as possible. Jeremiah chapter 23, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 23 as we go into the final stage of this divine communicate. How many of you would receive this right now as a divine communicate? God has sent this because he cares about me and he cares about you. Jeremiah chapter 23. And now I want to read the verse in the notes, then I'm going to contextualize it, then we're going to move towards the altar call. Number three response, keep dreams and visions close. Speak the word out. The priority is towards the clear-cut spoken word, the prophecy. But dreams and visions, you would do better. I would do better to not go and promote the dreams and visions unless God absolutely says to. Now, we've all run into people that have a dream. Every time they come, they have a dream. We've run into people that have seen a vision. You know, I saw this license plate, or I saw this and that, and here's doctrine from it. Here's the way everybody else should operate because of it. I would overturn that, and I want to use these verses to help. Now, let me read the verse in the notes. Jeremiah 23:28-29. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak it faithfully. Now, as we're going to find out, he's actually being a little sarcastic, the prophet who prophesies by dreams. Now, look at this. What has straw in common with wheat? The straw corresponds to dreams. The wheat corresponds to God's word. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? Now here, let's go into your Bible. Look at Jeremiah 23 and verse number 25. Are you still with me, by the way? Good. Okay. Jeremiah 23:25. He says, God says, I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Now, for those who are false, for those who are insincere, or for the utterly ignorant, dreams and visions can become the shallow means to influence other people. In other words, they want to take advantage. They don't have the substance of God. They don't have the true word of God, which actually resonates with the Holy Spirit within you, and that corresponds with this. They use their dreams and visions to direct and affect the lives of others. That's what Jeremiah was dealing with. And so God says, I've heard what they say. Oh, I have dreamed. Verse 26, how long will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Verse 27, who try to make my people forget my name. Now look at this. Which everyone tells his neighbor, to try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. In other words, in generations past, Baal was an idol which tripped up my people. In this generation, their dreams, their visions, their special words have become an idol in and of itself. People are focusing on dreams, focusing on visions, and they have forgotten the substantive word of God. They're not hearing my voice, but they're manipulating by special revelation. Verse 28, now, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What has the chaff or the straw to do with the wheat? You know, the dreams, the ecstatic, the specialized revelation, that's like chaff. That's like straw. It comes to nothing. But the word of God, now that will feed a person. The word of God is that hearty wheat, and they will come away satisfied. Verse 29, it'll be like fire, it'll refine. Verse 29, it's like a hammer. It breaks the hardness down into pieces which are manageable. It's just, friends, I would warn us here. I want you to be open to dreams. I want you to be open to visions. But keep the dreams and visions close. Don't let your dream of, trying to think of names, people aren't here. Of Bob. Is there a Bob here? Okay, I don't want to, Bobby. Bob, you're Bobby. Don't let your vision of Bob and Susie Q getting married now become a direction to them, okay? See, that kind of stuff has hurt a lot of people. That your dream and your vision, hey, if you have that dream, keep it close. if it actually happens, then you can say, well, I guess, Lord, you were showing me something, and maybe you were showing me just to pray for them if it happens, because Lord knows when they get married, they're going to need prayer. So, or you have this vision. Oh, I've had this vision of this or that. Well, you know what? Paul himself, he was forced to boast about his visions. He didn't want to boast about his visions. But in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, you all have compelled me. Now I have to talk about my revelation and visions. You know, all these other false apostles, they're talking about their dreams and their visions. Well, let me tell you, I had myself a vision. You know, I saw this man, he's in the heavens, the third heavens. He hears unspeakable things. And hey, you know, but then he wanted to say, I wouldn't boast in that guy, which he's talking about himself, by the way. He says, I won't boast in that. I'll boast in my afflictions. They want to boast in their visions. I guess you want that comparison here, but it's vanity. You know, it did not help Joseph to tell his brothers his dreams. Was he blessed by doing that? He was blessed to get the download, but he didn't have the wisdom and sense to hold the download. And so he spoke to them, and what was their criticism? How did they describe him? Here comes this man of God. Here comes this humble servant. Here comes somebody who's wanting to help and be a blessing. No, they said, here comes this dreamer. Let's see what will come of his dreams. Well, God had a plan, but Joseph might have done better to hold that one tight. You know, keep the cards to himself in that way. And so I want to leave us with that. Be open to dreams and visions, but keep it close. But when the word of God comes, that's something you could speak out. The Holy Spirit bears witness. The scriptures aren't contradicted. Speak it out and be a blessing to people. And so that's the word of the Lord, the God who speaks. Keep an open invitation for divine communication. That sound like a plan? Why don't we stand together? We'll reinforce this and then dismiss. But we could close our eyes for a moment. There may be a friend out here today that you hear this and you say, I don't know if I've ever heard from God that way. Well, really, God speaks to everybody. You've got a conscience, and you know in your heart of hearts when you've done wrong. You may resist it. It might become easier to do wrong, but God has spoken to you. He's put that in your heart that stealing is wrong. He's put that in your heart that this is good and that's bad. God has spoken to you. Perhaps at a young age, somebody spoke into your life and you've run from that. Well, God's speaking once again, and he's calling out to you. I love you. I desire you. I'm passionate about you. I want you to come into Christ. If you will come to me, I will share my life with you. You will find satisfaction for your weary soul. If you're here today, no one's looking around but me right now. Saints are praying because we all care about you. If you're with us and you say, Pastor Ron, please pray for me. I don't know where I stand with God. I want to be right with God. I don't want to spend 30, 40, 50 years trying out everything the world has to offer to come up empty. I'd rather understand the reason for my existence. Why do I wake? Why do I think? Ultimately, it's to hear from God. Say, Pastor Ron, please pray for me. Can you raise your hand just between you and I? And I will remember you in prayer today so I can know who to pray for. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Today, you know God's drawing you. You're in a house of love right now. We're all for you. I'm the only one looking around. I want to know who to pray for today. Could you raise your hand so I can remember you in prayer? Lord, I just ask today that for those who may not know you, draw them to yourself. Everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. From their hearts, may they cry out after you and receive you as Savior Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, you want to keep an open invitation for divine communication. I don't want to limit God. I don't want things in my life which are limiting God. I mean, I want to be that just that, like that internet access always has those five bars or the full bars of my cell phone. I want it to be full signal bandwidth at all times. You want to pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Let's gather around here today and ask God to help us.